Good morning again, brothers and sisters. I'm happy to be with you this morning. And I hope that you have enjoyed the former days that we have been sharing on this little topic. He sent them saviors. Remember, we're not here to diminish or to belittle the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember now, Jesus Christ, he came in a very short span of time. He only had a ministry for about three and a half years, and then he was gone. But never had there been any person on earth that have served God so intensely, so devoted, filled with God's Spirit, because he had unlimited sources. God did not give him the Spirit of God to a measure. He gave it in a fullness. He could do that because Jesus Christ, he had no sin. It was not the mortality that was hindering him. But still, he could be tested. Remember, God cannot be tested. You cannot tempt God. But Jesus Christ was tested and tempted all the time. Hey, when he started his ministry, shortly after he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came and started testing him. You cannot tempt God, but you can tempt a son of God, and even the Son of God. So here, when Jesus then started his ministry, he was always listening to the Spirit of the Father. He was inspired all the time. So therefore, when he turned towards a person and looked at him and he saw the condition, he spoke of the condition and he healed the person. He solved the problem so that the person now could walk on free from whatever disease and problem there was. I'm so thankful for such a Lord and Savior. And then we went into Mark chapter 4, and we were talking about how that the seed, the Spirit of God, is a seed. The Word is a seed. And everyone that hears that Word, they know that God is in it. There is something in the mentality of a person that tells this is truth. But the consequences of walking in the truth and following the truth is what people are counting, debating, wondering, can I do this? Because, hey, here comes the reasoning in. People want to have a certain benefit. What is it in it for me? But when they say, remember Jesus, he spoke to his disciples and he told them plainly and said, remember now, if you follow me, they will hate you. Because if they hate me, then they will also hate you. And he also told them, you have to take up your cross every day and follow me. What is the cross? Is it just a wooden piece that you carry on your shoulders, dragging around? No, the cross is really the inspirational factor that the people cannot believe. They will see what you do. They will see your attitude. They will see your humility, your humbleness. And then they'll say, there's something fishy here. A person cannot do like this all the time. There must be something else behind it. And they will do research and research to try to find falseness in you so that they can come to peace. And if they cannot find that falseness, then they will work continuously until they can find something. All right? And if they still cannot find it, then they'll say, how can we erase that person out of our history, out of our daily activity? And then they kill them. Jesus, he looked at the Pharisees and he said, you guys, fulfill your father's works, because your father, the father himself, is the devil. And your forefathers who have been walking in this spiritual realm, they have been fighting the truth all the time. They killed the prophets, even from Abel to Zechariah, the last prophet before the Lord closed down the age and gave it peace until Jesus Christ and John the Baptist came on the scene. So here, the Lord is now using these people that he is anointing as an attraction. They become, in a way, a savior. And I hope that you are not really discussing in your mind, can I say that some people are saviors outside the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, remember now, these men that we read about, let us look a little at the Old Testament. Judges chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. And when the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah, they cried to Jehovah because they're in distress, there's enemies, and they want to be released from that type of rulership. Then Jehovah raised up a savior to the children of Israel. Do I read it right? Is the Bible speaking and saying Jehovah raised up a savior? And that savior was not Jesus the Christ, because there were still hundreds of years to come before he would ever send the Savior, the Son of God, the Anointed One, who that Israel was waiting on when Jesus came. And he sent a Savior to the children of Israel who saved them. Even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So here we have a brother. Caleb, you remember Joshua and Caleb? God blessed Joshua and Caleb and said, those two men, they have been faithful in all they're doing, and I will make them live so they can enter into the promised land. But the rest of you guys, I'll just let you die in the wilderness. So the Lord sent Israel around for 40 years in the wilderness until everyone had passed away. And now I want to correct, or I want to emphasize, who is going to go into Israel and who is going to die in the wilderness. Remember, when Israel went out of Egypt, there were around 2 million people with warriors, women, and children. Okay? 2 million people. And they went through the Red Sea, came on the other side, and then the Lord started testing them because he wanted to make them, drill them in to be a nation that would obey God in everything that he revealed to them. But the men, they were slaves of Egypt, and when they saw any obstacles or problems coming up, They were aligning and comparing the life they were living in the wilderness in freedom now with the life and the pressure they had in Egypt. And they found out that Egypt wasn't too bad after all. So then they started saying, if we're going to live like this, we could just as well go back to Egypt. And then God, when he brought them to Kadesh Barnea, that was, remember, from the sea, Red Sea, and up to Mount Horeb. It took them some weeks and months. And then at the mountain, at God's mountain, Mount Horeb, here Moses gave them, or God gave them, the Ten Commandments. And for approximately 2-3 years, they were living around that mountain until the Lord had made them understand his will in a certain way. And then they started the journey towards the promised land. And they came up to Kadesh Barnea. And here the people were sent spies into the land. And when the spies came back, they brought fruits. They had good reports about the fruitful land, but they also had a very sad report. The men of that country are big, they're huge, they're dangerous. I don't think we can do it. And then they convinced the people, 10 spies convinced Israel that it was too dangerous to go into the promised land. But two men, Joshua and Caleb, they said, no, we can do it. Remember what God did for us in Egypt? Remember what he did? He brought us through the Red Sea. And now we have a law. We have a community. And God is going to succeed in bringing us into the promised land. But the people were so mad. So they almost wanted to kill Moses and the believers. So God had to come down and he spoke to the children and he said, because you did this, because you disbelieve me and you don't want to go into the land that I've given you, I will now send you out in the wilderness. You used 40 days to spy out the country and you come back with this report. Now I will send you out in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day that you spoiled the nation with your bad report. And every one of you that crossed the Red Sea and you came on this side of the bank, because you did this, I will split the nation. I'll say every child up to 20 years will not be responsible for the actions that you did today by disbelieving my commandment. But every soul that has passed 20 years and upward, I will let you die in the wilderness. All right? So the Lord, he turns Israel and he starts sending them out in the wilderness. And here, people start dying. Of course, he didn't kill them all off at once. But through the 40 years, the people that had passed 20 years, they got sick or they started fading and they fell in the wilderness. So here, there are hundreds of thousands of men that died in the wilderness because of their disbelief. But the children that had not, think about it, if you have been 18, 19 years old and you go through the Red Sea, wouldn't you have a mind and an understanding of what you were doing? Absolutely. But the Lord cut the age part under 20 and above 20. And the young generation that started from there and went 40 years in the wilderness. After 40 years, from 20, they would be 60 years when the time was fulfilled and the training program in the wilderness was over. And now they're standing here at the edge of Jordan, the river of Jordan, to go into the promised land. Oh, Lord. Then Moses dies. Joshua helps Israel. And for many years, he is the leader, the warrior, the commander, the chief in command. Of course, Joshua was a savior because the Lord spoke to him and told him what to do. Of course, all the men that are saviors in the natural part, that are born from Adam and Eve and up till now, all of us, we have failures, shortcomings. There is none of us that are perfect. Remember, the law of sin entered into our loins through the seed of unbelief that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. And that has followed the race ever since. And it hasn't changed today. So therefore, the only one that was without sin was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Savior, right? But here, from Joshua and up, you find out that God used men. And he revealed his presence to them and made them to be God's mouthpiece in the time they were living. So then, in Judges chapter 3, verse 9, and when the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah, Jehovah raised up a savior to the children of Israel, who saved them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the spirit of Jehovah came upon him, and he judged Israel. And he went out to war, and Jehovah delivered Cushan Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan Rishathaim, and the land had rest for 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So you see, God raised up a character. He spoke to him, he inspired him, and he became an attraction for Israel. Of course, not everyone in Israel was happy with the saviors, with the men of God. Remember Moses? How many times didn't some of the Israeli people come and said, you are making yourself more spiritual and better than others. We are also holy. And Moses, he had to say, Lord, they're about to kill me. I've never done anything to really deserve the attitude that people raise up against me. But you see, people have a selfish mind. It's like what we read in Mark chapter 4, where when they say, let's see, yeah, in verse 16, Mark 4, 16, and these in like manner are they that are sown upon the rocky places, who then, when they hear the word, straightway receive it with joy. Hey, when things happen and they get water and they get food, they get manna, they get flesh, birds comes in and they can now feed themselves and it's full of joy for a short season. Yeah, they can see and be blessed by the blessings that God gives. But in verse 17, and they have no root in themselves. It doesn't stick deeper in. It's just outward flattery. They just endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, straightway they stumble. My Lord. So here, I would say it like this. If you experience the Lord and you say at a certain age where the Lord reveals his presence to you and you say, my, I want to believe that I'm going to stand for this truth. Hallelujah. All right. Then the devil hears it and he says, I'll see about that. And he starts peppering you with a lot of problems. And God steps back. He takes a step back and he lets the devil work on your mind. Why does God do things like that? Isn't that cruel? God should be there to protect me. Oh yes, but he is. Just when you read the book of Job, how many chapters is there in the book of Job with accusations and testings and trouble? Yeah, about 38 chapters. And there's 4 chapters where God restores, and they come at the final part of the book. So here it tells me when we read and when we are getting a truth, that truth will be tested in our lives. I have been tested many times on the truth. I made up my mind when I was a young boy or a young man. And after I made up my mind, then things started being complicated. But I remember, of course, I didn't read Mark chapter 4 at that time and said, hey, I better watch it. But now I can see what happened back in those days. Yeah. Because the Spirit of God is the truth. And the circumstances are the thorns, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. And that will choke the word. Remember, the word is life. And the word itself cannot be choked to that respect. The word will always stand there. But your heart, your mind, remember, you have a portion of the Spirit of God. And therefore, when you listen, you can sense God is in this. But then you look at the circumstances around you and you will say, but the battle's going to be too tough because I want to save my life. I want to protect myself. I want to become rich. I want money. I want influence. I want power. And I can see if I keep believing this word, it will spoil my chances for recognition. Hey, God sends Israel out for 40 years to test them, to prepare them, because they're going to be a nation that's going to show the will of God, the presence of God, the glory of God. That was the intentions. All right. I don't want to go any further right now on that. But I can see here that the people who look at the circumstances in life, even today, in our own day, I have seen people rejoicing, jumping, praising the Lord. And they're so happy, they didn't know how to express it. But then after a time, after a while, they start doubting. And today, they become your enemy. Because they feel that what they had then is not really working. They let the devil come and erupt, disturb their mind. They don't stay focused on the revelation that God gave. And therefore, they end up being unbelievers of the truth of the day and the hour. All right, then I will go here into Judges chapter 3, verse 15 to 18. But when the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah, Jehovah raised them up a savior, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a man left-handed, and the children of Israel sent tribute by him unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And you can read on. Here, Ehud becomes a savior. He rescues Israel out of the hands of the enemies so that the people can enjoy liberty again. And then in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who smote of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. My, I will say, when I read those things, and then let's go to Hebrews, because I can see that my time is running out. So I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 32. And I will give you some saviors in a short version here. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight armies of aliens. And then, the other side of it. Women received their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yeah, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskin, in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And these all, having a witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things concerning us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. I'll say, brothers and sisters, read for yourself. Who do you want to be? What part would you want to share? And what representation will you want to have? God doesn't promise you a light and easy life. It's a variation between a lot of things. But I pray that you will be able to see he sent them saviors then, and he will send them saviors now. God bless you. Amen.